I aim high and see the light. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I aim high and see the light. President Harry S. Truman went broke in the men's clothing store he started, but he aimed high and he saw the light. He always believed in himself. He was always a simple man. He did not try to pretend he was something he was not. And as he said when he was in office, the buck stops here. Whatever decisions have to be made for the country, he was the one who had to make that final decision. And following a president like, you know, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had been in there four or five terms, my goodness sakes, that would be quite a show to follow. But it was no problem, because Harry Truman won landslide thing. The who was it? They said that he wouldn't win. They put it on. In fact, Wendell Willcox who was against him. They put him as the winner on the newspapers. They published the newspapers before the election results were all in, and they thought that the other guy was going to win, and Harry Truman won. And it was the biggest, funniest thing that ever happened in, you know, in newspaper dealdom. They'll never do that again, because they just knew this other guy was going to win, that Truman didn't have a chance, you know. And he won. He aims high, and he sees the light. He believes in himself. And he and Tess were just fabulous people, because they were simple. They were simple people, and he loved his daughter. He loved his daughter. And his daughter was a horsey-looking girl, you know, not a very attractive girl at all, but she was a nice kid. But she didn't have the looks, but she was the president's daughter. And so what did she do? She put on a concert. And she sang, I think, and or played the piano. I think she sang. She sang, yeah. And she was not that good. But she was the president's daughter, and she had this great show that she put on. And the president stood up beside her, and everyone clapped to bring the house down. But she wasn't good. There was no further shows, because she just wasn't good. And they recognized it. She had her moment. She had her moment. And she went on to do lovely things, too. She was just a common, beautiful, sensitive person like the president himself. Now, he aimed high and saw the light. And because he aimed high and saw the light, he could accomplish great things. There was no project that was beyond his ability to conceive. Here he was, a nothing from Missouri. Missouri yet, you know. You know, like Sally Horry, and your aunt in Missouri there. And he was just a nothing. And he got into politics, and he was President Truman's, President Roosevelt's vice president, you know, and nobody ever thought anything would come of that. But when President Roosevelt died, well, Truman was the president. And the way he handled it, the dignity that he handled it, the gentleness that he handled it was just what was necessary, because it was at the closure of the war, and it was at the ending of hostilities for all the world, and he, in his peaceful attitude as a peaceful man, in the right place at the right time, was a magnificent president. People will never say he was one of our great presidents, but he was, because he was a president who had the most humility. He was a president who had the most ability to work. He was the president who said to General Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest generals that we have ever known in this world, you're fired. Huh. Why? Because General Douglas MacArthur got so big that he felt he could tell the president what to do, and not do what the president asked him to do in Japan and Korea and so forth. And you see, you can't do that. The president is the boss. The president is the last word, even though there's the Congress and the Senate and all those other wonderful things. You have to respect the leadership. If you don't respect the leadership, then you might as well not be there. Now, would Grace respect the leadership here? Definitely. Why would Grace respect the leadership? Because she knows that that is required of her, to respect whoever is the boss, the bank president or Sybil or whoever it is. She knows that. Now, do you know that? Do you have the ability to have the humility in your attitude that anyone who is in authority and can say something and to tell you to do something, you will do it without feeling uptight about it? Can Ingeborg bring you requirements and have you not be upset by it? Can Rex come up and jump on you and you're not upset by him? You know, because you could be very upset by the silliest things. And if you just say, Rex, down. I am in charge of my life. If you want to go and jump on people, I don't approve it, but not me. You see, humility is not letting people walk over you. Humility is not letting people make you lose your judgment or your principles. With humility, you live your principles 100%. You stand behind who you are 100%, but you do not do it to the disgrace of yourself or another. When a man comes up to a woman and says, go to bed with me. And the woman says, wow, you are wonderful. Thank you for asking me. I don't choose to go to bed with you, but what a great honor you pay me to think that I would like to, you know, be in your presence and in your company and go to bed with you. What a lovely thing for you to say. No, thank you. But what a lovely thing to say. I mean, the guy, you know, what can he say? He can only realize how improper he has been and how disrespectful he has been to himself and to his world to do something so improper, you know? And she did that all by maintaining her own dignity, respecting him as a person, because no one can come into her life and ask her anything unless she creates that too. She knows that. And so, but at the same time, it gave her the opportunity to say, no, thank you. And, hey, I do as I please. I don't have to do anything because, you know, I owe it to you, or you are stronger than I am, or I want power that you could give me. No. You see, the movie stars who do not go to bed with their directors are movie stars who have talent and who are great. Now, if you have talent and you're great and you are unable to get yourself a good show or get yourself a good director or something like that, then don't be in the business. If you ever have to lose your principles, if you ever have to violate your ethics to get anything that you want, you're doing it wrong. Always. Regardless, however small it may be or however big it may be. And right now, we're violating our ethics by driving above the speed limit, by not paying attention to the traffic rules, by not paying attention to other things. What do you teach your children? Do you teach your children respect and honor? You've got to respect your sisters. They're girls. No. Your sisters are not girls. Your sisters are not sisters. Your sisters are people that you respect. You respect people. You don't respect girls because they're girls. You respect them because they're people. And you would never disadvantage a girl any more than you disadvantage a man, because these are people that deserve your 100 respect because you want respect. And you see, that takes it from a different point of view. And you don't do what your mother says because I'm your mother. You do what your mother says because I am in charge of you. I am the one who tells you the things to do. I love you. I am your mother. I gave birth to you. I think you're the most wonderful child on the face of the earth, and I'd overlook a lot of things, you know. But I cannot do that because I am a principal. I am the one in charge of making sure that you do your homework. You can't weasel out of it. I am the one in charge of making sure that you fall in love with your subjects. I didn't have any fun with geometry either. Geometry is always terrible for me. And, you know, I can understand why you got trouble. That's not the answer. The answer is geometry is a beneficial thing for us as we go in our life. And if we know geometry, we can know all sorts of things. And then you bring out how you can do it. But you have to start thinking, not as a mother, but as a person in charge. You're inspiring that child to want education. You're inspiring that child to want to learn, to want to take all these wonderful benefits and make their life into something beautiful and fulfilling. It's for them, not for anybody else. But you see, if you just, I'm your mother and you do it, and I shut up or I'll beat your pants off, you know? And that's no answer. And the father says, you didn't hit that guy back in the eye when he hit you? Well, what a terrible thing to say. Why did you create this anxiety? What happened that made you feel so angry about him? No, thank you. What happened that made you feel so angry about this boy? You know better than that. Now, you see, I tell Ellen, when I drink water, I always fill my glass right to the brim. But when I am giving a lecture, I like maybe 3 or 4 drops of water in the glass. I'm not guzzling. I just want to wet my whistle. And so here, see, all sorts of crazy things happen. And it's silly. Yeah, it's really silly. And you like that, don't you? Yeah. But you see, but I want to get the message across. And I get the message across sometimes in an interesting way. And this is all part of the game. It's all part of the game of being masters. Give me your napkin, please. It's all part of the game of being a master. And you want to be real careful. No. I'm kidding here about. This is all part of the game of knowing who you are and knowing what your responsibilities are, knowing what the game is that you're playing. And if you don't know who you are, if you don't remember that I drink a full glass of water at a meal, but I just drink a little bit when I'm giving a lecture, if you don't remember that, then don't be helpful. You know what I mean? So, being a teacher, being a sharer, is a great responsibility. It doesn't mean you're a normal person. Because the moment you're a normal person, then everything is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. When you are a teacher who has charm and magic and music in you, the students will do anything you ask. When you are a teacher that's afraid of what you're doing and afraid of yourself and insecure, the students recognize that instantly and they take advantage of you and they don't learn, because they're figuring out ways to take advantage of you. So the best teacher is a teacher that likes himself and believes in himself and shares what they enjoy. Now, what would a teacher enjoy doing, Ellen? A teacher would enjoy teaching, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Okay. If a teacher would enjoy teaching, then the teacher should figure out what is the most fun way of being a teacher? What is the most fun way of sharing whatever I'm going to teach? Mm-hmm. And in this one movie we watched the other time, the teacher was teaching music. music history, boring him. And the kids were sitting in class, you know, holding up their heads and stuff like that. And the teacher said, well, my sleepy class. And so he realized, that's not a joke. That's not a joke. He was there to teach this class. Now, how was he going to get across to this class what he was teaching? And so the teacher, he's smart, and he said to the class, okay, we're going to talk about Bach today. And the goof said, you know. And he says, now, what do you think of this? And he played Bach in the modern tempo with the rock type music, you know. And it was Bach. And ho, 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 we like that. That's great stuff. And then he says, okay, now, this is how he wrote it. This is how Bach wrote it. And, oh, oh. And then he did several other numbers of different musicians. Oh, 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 oh. And they had a new interest in it. He said, oh, is that how it started? Is that where it went to? Is that what happened? And they were alive, and they were listening. And, of course, he was good, too. He said, they just, wow. And then the principal came by the door, and he said, what's going on in this classroom? And the class came alive. The teacher taught in a manner that was exciting for them. And we oftentimes fail to do that. We teach in a manner that is traditional and functional, that doesn't necessarily inspire the student, that doesn't necessarily inspire the child. When we have children, when we say, clean that room, we say, don't clean that room. Just say, come on, let's go in here. Now, you have some real nice things here. And they should all be put away and be cared for nicely. Now, you put these things away nicely here, and then you have room for some more things, too. You have room for some more toys and more clothes. And if you're going to leave your clothes on the floor here, then I'm going to have to just take those clothes and throw them out because, you know, we don't need clothes that are lying on the floor. And, ha, 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 mother would never do that. And so, next day, the clothes are on the floor, mother goes in there, she says, oh, and she picks up the clothes and puts them in the trash can. Ah, you took my clothes. Now you got to buy me some more. No, I don't have to. I told you, take care of your clothes, and you have it. But you got to. I don't got to do nothing. I take care of my clothing, and so I always have nice clothing. You take care of your clothing, and you have nice clothing too. But I didn't know you were serious. Well, I used to be not serious, but I decided I'm going to be serious because I love you, and I want you to take care of your things and appreciate them. But Mom, you know, and they welly, welly, welly. And Mom says, sorry, sweetheart. Been there, done that. I've been through your little tirades of trying to get me to do things, and now I'm going to have you appreciate your clothes. And so the next day goes by, and he has nothing really to wear to school. And she says, too bad. But Mom, and he leaves some more clothes on the floor, and now he's pretty naked, you know. But I can't go to school like this. I don't care. You haven't shown respect for your clothing. You haven't shown respect for anything here. So you go with what you got. But Mom, I can't really. Well, do you want to change your mind about these things? What do you want to do? Your clothes are all gone. It's all the garbage is gone. But Mom, well, maybe we can find an old pair of trousers your dad has, and we'll sew them up and fix them. But Mom, well, are you ready to be responsible for your clothing? You know, he has made up his mind for sure. But the mother has to have guts to stand behind her decision. And once the lesson is learned, it'll be learned forever. And he will remember it forever. He will respect his clothing. He will respect his mother. But you see, perhaps the biggest thing he'll respect in this you're thinking it's going to be himself. The biggest thing he's going to respect in this is his mother for standing up for what she said she was going to do and didn't back down just because he was naked. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't back down. Even though he had to go to school looking like a ragamuffin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can put your sister's dress on if you want. you kill me, you know. Well, okay, then take your dad's old pants, you know. But no, I'm sorry. When you learn to respect your clothing by putting them away, but more so, when you learn to respect my request for you, then you will do it. Now, can you aim high and see the light? Can you stand behind these principles? Can you do this with your kids? I did it with mine. And it was tough on me. He had his beautiful airplanes in his room, and he had designed them and made them all nice, but he left the junk all over the floor. So I just swept the airplanes off his desk onto the floor, and I said, "There's more junk. Dad, what'd you do?" I said, "You have to keep things orderly." I said, if you don't take care of your stuff, then it's just going to go in the trash, you know. And he didn't think I'd do that. And it all went in the trash. And he says, "But I worked so many hours on that." And I said, "It would only take you a minute to sweep it up, you know." And from that day forward, he was only about 8 or 10 then, yeah. But from that day forward, he was the neatest guy. He had his room orderly at all times. He had 5 or 6 airplanes going at one time. And he had all different things, models that he's working on. He was a very quick kid. And then it started flowing over to the rest of the house. He would start keeping things in order like I did. He would start keeping the house looking good. And he even helped his mother now and then. No, but he took to his chores and did them. And he had friends who came over. Remember the story about Tommy? And they were in the front yard, and they were shooting bow and arrows. And one of their arrows went through our fiberglass divider between the garage and the carport, you know. And I came home and saw it, and I said, "Mark, what is this?" And he says, "Oh, Tommy did that." I said, "Oh, Tommy didn't do that." I said, "You did that." I said, "You are responsible for whatever your friends do here. When your friends are in our home, you're the one who allowed them to do it. You're the one who gave them the arrow to shoot and stuff like that. So you go to the hardware store and you buy a new piece of fiberglass and put it in there. And, well, give me the money." "No, no, you pay for it yourself. You take it out of your allowance because you're the one, you're responsible for anything that your friends do in this house." "Well, that's not what happened when we go to their house." "That's their business. In our house, you're responsible because you're inviting them as your guests." And so he fixed it, and it never happened again. No problem ever happened again like that. But you see, it's hard on us. It's just so easy to go say, "Here, $10, go buy another sheet," you know, stuff like that. But to stand up and teach them principle, to let them see the light, to let them look high and be responsible for themselves, that's not easy. Because we didn't do it to ourselves. We didn't stand firm and tall and look high and see the light ourselves. We didn't require it of ourselves. And you see, that can be a problem. And of course, teaching in that way can be a problem too. If you don't like yourself, then you're going to think that your kids are not going to like you, and they're not going to appreciate you, and you can't buy their love, and that sort of stuff. And it's all a lot of silliness. So think about that. Think about that. I aim high and see the light. And it isn't a matter of whether we can afford it or not. We cannot afford to do it any differently. If it means taking their clothes and throwing it in the trash, if they have not done it after a reasonable period of you telling them, then that's it. That's it. We had one little girl on campus. She was 3 years old. And we told the kids when they were on campus, when you come home from school, you put on your old clothes. And if your mother says you can put on something, they can put it on or something like that. But otherwise, you just put on your old clothes. So she came home from school. Well, she didn't come home from school, but the kids came home from school and they were changing. And she decided that she was going to put on her pretty dress. And so she put on this real pretty dress, real nice looking dress. And she was parading around in it. And I said, what's your name?
Anita.
Anita, yeah. I said, Anita, did your mommy say you could put that dress on? And she says, no. You know, perfectly honest. And I said, well, you probably better go and take it off. I want my dress on. And I said, Anna Maria, that was the mother. I said, did you give Anita permission to wear the dress? No. I said, you know what the rule is, don't you? Yeah. I said, okay, Anita, take off that dress and put it in the trash can right now. So she took off the dress and put it in the trash can. And after she put it in the trash can, put the lid on, then she went back over and lifted the lid and looked at her dress again, closed it, you know. But never again was there a problem.
I remember that.
Now, that's tough. Remember that? Yeah, that was tough. And it was tough on everybody. Everybody who was there seeing this, you know. And they thought, Herb, you're just, she's only 3 years old, you know. But today she is training as a medical doctor. And is she a doctor already or not? But at last we heard she's training as a medical doctor and in Switzerland and doing just fine. But, you know, the quality of our self is what happens as we're growing up and as we learn integrity and as we learn responsibility, as we learn character or develop character. So I aim high and see the light. So with Harry Truman, have a ball. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.